We're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, Chapter 82, verses 22 to 38. Verse 22. Shri Shukavacha Vasudeva Gasena Vyair Yarubhiste Chitani Paha Asan Achita Sandarsha Param Ananda Nirvitaha. Shukadeva Goswami said, Vasudeva Ugrasena and the other Yadus honored the various kings who became supremely blissful and content upon seeing Lord Achyuta. Mukam makarati vachalam mangam langhayate him yakipam tamaham vande shirum vinitayanam. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuramitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. What do you remember from morning class, Abhay?
Nothing more. I just saw the point of the Kurukshetra was to bring Krishna back.
Yes, Nanda Maharaj's purpose of going to Kurukshetra is just to bring Krishna back to Vrindavan. Yes, anything else you remember? Yes?
Three kinds of devotees.
Three kinds of devotees.
First class would see Krishna in their heart.
Right.
The second between devotees also.
Yes, even in the spiritual world, even in here, in this world, when the devotees are here. Yes. Right, they did everything to please Krishna and to get the blessings of brahmanas to please Krishna. So now we just read how Vasudeva Gurusena and the other Yadus are honoring the kings. And everyone's happy because they're all seeing Achyuta. They're all seeing Krishna. Everyone's happy. And that is the real happiness, to see Krishna. Okay, verses 23 to 26. All the royalty present, including Bhishma, Drona, Dhritarashtra, Gandhari and her sons, the Pandavas and their wives, Kunti, Sanjaya, Vidura, Kripacharya, Kuntibhoja, Virat, Bhishmaka, the great Nagnajit, Puruji, Jupara, Shalya, Dushketu, Kashiraj, Damagosha, Vishalaksha, Maitila, Madra, Kekaya, Yudhamanyu, Shisharma, Bhalika, with his associates and their sons, and the many other kings subservient to Maharaj Yudhisthira, all of them, O best of kings, were simply amazed to see the transcendental form of Lord Krishna, the abode of all opulence and beauty, standing before them with his consorts. So that must have been a real sight, Krishna and 16,108 queens standing, 16,000 people in one place, just standing together. Beautiful wives, all his wives. So, Kashiraj. Later, perhaps. Perhaps. This happened very soon after Krishna went to Dwaraka. So many of these pastimes, they didn't die yet. They didn't die yet. Krishna hadn't. We had this huge list of demons that Krishna had to kill before he got to go back to Vrindavan. And so he was. We were crossing them all. Finally, we finished the last one, Dantavakra. But now here they all back again at Kurukshetra. It's like that's what it's not in chronological order. But Shukadev wants us to hear about the Brijbasis meeting Krishna at Kurukshetra to understand the love of the Brijbasis. Even though Krishna's in Dwarka, he's not forgetting, and neither is Shukadev Goswami. Forgetting the Brijbasis. After Lord Balaram and Lord Krishna had liberally honored them with great joy and enthusiasm, these kings began to praise the members of the Vrishni clan, Sri Krishna's personal associates. The king said, O king of the Bhojas, you alone among men have achieved a truly exalted birth, for you continually behold Lord Krishna, who is rarely visible even to great yogis. These verses are so nice because Krishna's name is in every verse practically. And even if it's not in the Sanskrit, you Yes, there it is. 28, it's there. Krishna. 27, Krishna. It's very nice. Verse 29-30. His fame is broadcast by the Vedas, the water that has washed his feet, and the words he speaks in the form of the revealed scriptures. These thoroughly purify this universe. So two of these are here all the time, even if Krishna is not here. And that is the Vedas and the Ganga water. They are, and Jamuna water. They are here even after Krishna leaves. We still have this benefit of even the words, of course, we have also the words of the real Bhagavad Gita. Of course, when he was here, you could hear him in person speaking. And Sanjaya had the connection to Dhritarashtra also, the internet connection, whatever, however he did it. Probably the same idea, but with much, much less trouble. Although the earth's good fortune was ravaged by time, the touch of his lotus feet has revitalized her, and thus she is raining down on us the fulfillment of all our desires. Yes, Kali was coming, and all the demoniac kings took birth on the earth, and she was being ravaged by this inauspicious time. All these demons were being born on the earth. But it was, although it was an inauspicious time, it was auspicious because Krishna came to deliver. So even now we have our inauspicious time, but it's auspicious because Krishna has come to deliver all the in the form of Lord Chaitanya. So the same Lord Vishnu who makes one forget the goals of heaven and liberation has now entered into marital and blood relationships with you, who otherwise travel on the hellish path of family life. Indeed, in these relationships, you see and touch him directly, walk beside him, converse with him, and together with him, lie down to rest, sit at ease, and take your meals. So they're really appreciating the good fortune of the Yadavas, to be with Krishna, to be in his family, to be in Krishna's family. So all of us have that to look forward to. We are a part of Krishna's family, and one day we'll rejoin Krishna's family. We already are rejoining Krishna's family, but we'll find out what is our relationship in the spiritual world too. Purport. All the Vedic mantras glorify Lord Vishnu. This truth is supported with elaborate evidence by learned acharyas like Ramanuja and his Vidartha Sangraha and Madhva in his Rig Veda Bhasya. The words Vishnu himself speaks, such as Bhagavad Gita, are the confidential essence of all scripture. In his manifestation as Vyasadeva, Supreme Lord composed both Vedanta Sutras and Mahabharata, and this Mahabharata includes Krishna's personal statement. Vedaischa sarvairahameva vedyo vedanta krit veda videva chaham. By all the Vedas I am to be known. Indeed, I am a compiler of Vedanta and I am the knower of the Vedas. When Lord Vishnu appeared before Bali Maharaj to beg three steps of land, the Lord's second step pierced the shells of the universe. The water of the transcendental river Viraja, lying just outside the universal egg, fuzz seeped inside, washing Lord Vamana's foot and flowing down to become the Ganga River. Because of the sanctity of its origin, the Ganga is generally considered the most holy of rivers, but even more potent is the water of the Jamuna, where Lord Vishnu in his original form of Govinda played with his intimate companions. In these two verses, the assembled kings praise the special merit of Lord Krishna's Yadu clan. Not only do they see Krishna, they are also directly connected with him by dual bonds of marital and blood relationships. Sri Vishnu Chakravarti suggests the word bandha, besides its more obvious meaning of relation, can also be understood in the sense of capture, expressing, but the love the Yadus feel for the Lord obliges him always to stay with them. So bandha means they've captured Krishna. To stay with them by their love. Krishna is controlled by love. That quality we heard today with Sudama. Mm-hmm. So I have something here from Brihadbhagavatamrita first part, which I'd read about the Yadus. Krishna vismita vaikuntha vilasai swanukshanam navam navam anirvachyam vitanoti sukham hat. Krishna has now forgotten Vaikuntha, for he's bound by intense, unbreakable loving exchanges with these yadus. He sees the yadus, touches them, talks with them, sits with them, eats and sleeps with them, follows them when they walk, takes part in their marriage ceremonies. Imagine, Krishna is coming to your wedding, or to your son's wedding, and shares in their other activities of embodied life. These relations are more tangible than the yogi's union with him in meditation. Much better to have Krishna to live with him in the same family than to have him just meditating in your heart, the super soul, and no relationship, no real activity. Thus, by his pastimes, Krishna spreads among the yadus infinite pleasure, ever fresh and indescribable, destroying any desire they might have for heaven or liberation and increasing more and more their devotion to him. So it's interesting, the commentary that they give on this Brihadbhagavatamrita verse, because it tells the purpose that Krishna came not only for his enjoyment, but for the pleasure of his devotees. And some of the yadus, before living with Krishna, might have harbored desires to attain the higher celestial worlds and associate with Krishna there, like in the form of Vamanadeva. In fact, some of them were demigods. They came and they were born, as we heard at the beginning of the 10th canto, that Krishna, the order was given, you go and take to the demigods, take birth in the other dynasty. So some of them might have felt an urge to return to heaven, because that was the place where they came from. But after they lived for some time with Krishna in Dwaraka, such unsuitable desires in their hearts dissolved. So those demigods who joined Krishna, they had this sakam bhakti. They had this desire to enjoy at the same time serve. And I heard that Prabhupada said a lot of his disciples will end up in the heavenly planets because of that. But it's, I guess, yes. So here these demigods, they have this desire, but being with Krishna made them lose all that desire. The yadus lost every trace of interest in liberation from the cycle of samsara, because they wanted never to be deprived of the opportunity to take birth again and again in the company of Krishna. So that's interesting. We hear Lord Chaitanya, he says, Mama janmani janmanishare bhavatad bhaktir ahituti tve. So some of them wanted to perhaps enjoy, go back to the heavenly planets after they finished, you know, being with Krishna. But being with Krishna made them lose that desire. And some of them might have wanted to get liberation. But now they decided, no, we want to keep taking birth and be with Krishna every time he comes. We want to take birth again and again so we can take part in his pastimes and be with him. So another understanding of janmani janmanishare. Yadu's meditation on Krishna is much more strongly focused than the dharana and samadhi of yogis, whereas impersonal meditators fall prey to various distractions, even in their so-called perfection of samadhi. Krishna's devotees in Dwaraka, in their Krishna samadhi, cannot be shaken in any way, at any time, by anyone or anything. So when you get to that point, you're ready to go to Braj, Goloka, or to Dwaraka. When I was in Bombay last year, I was teaching some young children, like they had a Sunday school, and I said, so, where do you all want to go? Do you want to go to Goloka? No, we want to go to Dwaraka, they all said. All of them. I guess the teacher was reading them Dwaraka pastimes. Anyway, Dwaraka is on that side. Yeah? Oh yeah, yeah, in Mayapur, yeah. I was there. No, a few years ago. Yeah, was last or maybe last year. Yeah, yeah, I was there. Yeah, Damodar Priya. Embroidery. Yeah, I was there. Yeah, bagpipes. No, it was bagpipes. Yeah, I'll tell the story. I'll tell the story.
I'll tell it.
Yeah, because I was there too. Yeah, it was a procession of bagpipes, and it wasn't a Harinam. It was a marriage procession, and it passed by her just minutes before she left the body. And they said to her, "Oh, Krishna has come to marry you." And she said, "Yes." And then this marriage, I mean, never. It came from behind, not from the main road. It came from Hooghly. It came from behind the Grihastha Ashram. They came, not from the Gurukul.
Shastra Prabhu was there with all his group.
It came from the backside. It came from the backside, from the river. And we never get groups from there. Never, nobody comes from that side. It's just like, yeah. I saw them pass by, just pass next to her ashram, this marriage party with bagpipes. You know, bagpipes also. I never saw.
She was
in bagpipes in India, in Mayapur. Anyway, yeah, this is, and they were trying to convince her before, you know, you should be a gopi. Why do you want to be a wife? You know, she wouldn't listen. Damodar Priya. Yeah, she left everything at the age of 50 or something. She left her husband, who was very rich. She had a husband and I think children. She left them all and went to become a pujari in New York. I mean, to help the pujari seva. She was helping the pujaris in New York. And she was living a brahmacharini in New York temple. Then she came to Mayapur to die. Anyway, yes. Even nowadays, if you have this meditation on Krishna, you can go to Dwarka. So how to get this absorption? It cannot be shaken. Nobody could shake her, actually, from her desire. So back to the purport of Brihadbhagavatamrita, and it's talking about the yadus. To achieve limited versions of spiritual perfection with dimensions of happiness that are monotonous and meager compared to pure devotional service, conditioned souls must undergo disciplines like the Eightfold Yoga process. Makes you not want to do it. Yadus, however, have purely spiritual bodies, therefore have no need to submit their bodies and minds to yoga discipline. And I was studying the Uddhava Gita where it talks about yoga disciplines and how to get every single mystic power. And at the end it says, but actually they're all impediments to bhakti. These mystic powers are impediments. So therefore the devotees reject them. They are eternal friends of Yogeshwara, master of all yoga. Instead of struggling to cultivate some inward meditation, in the company of Krishna, they effortlessly enjoy in various ways with all the company, with all their senses. And then they quote these two verses, 29-30. And now he explains, in these two verses spoken during the meeting of Krishna's devotees at Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhisthira congratulates the Yadavas for the supreme fortune of their intimacy with Krishna. So that's, we didn't know it was Maharaj Yudhisthira. The water that has washed Krishna's feet in the form of the river Ganga purifies the whole universe of his sins. His instructions in the form of the Vedas educate human society to the standard of natural spiritual life, free from illusion. But despite his constant presence in these two forms, in course of time, the earth picks up from the creature she supports more sinful contamination than she can bear. Her glory then becomes a mere shadow of what it was. To deliver the earth from such misfortune, therefore, Krishna appears in the Yadu dynasty. So that's Bhavesmin Klishamananam Queen Kunti praise. Avidya Kama Karmabhi. Also, no, there's another one. That you're just like a boat at sea. The earth has become like a boat at sea, tossed and turned and ready to sink with all its inhabitants. And then Krishna came to save everyone. So, but just by the touch of his lotus feet, she regains her former strength and can once again shower the Lord's devotees with the fulfillment of their needs and desires. The others especially are so satisfied living on the earth with Krishna. They entirely forget about heaven and liberation. They prefer to stay entangled in their relations with him through marriage, sayona, and birth, sapinda. Right. So, what is that verse? from, you quoted it, Adi Purush, 119 something, Parikshit Maharaj. He says, if I must take my birth again. If I'm to take birth again, let me have devotion to you, friendship with your devotees, affection to your devotees, friendship to all living entities. Sudama Forest also. And Maharaj Pariksha, 119, but it's 16 or, I don't know. Yeah, I don't have it. Yeah, 16. 119.16. It's a wonderful verse to another desire that devotee, pure devotees have for next birth.
They all seem to want to be madhyamas.
Yes, they all do. I mean, that's really interesting. They're aspiring to be madhyamas. Parikshit Maharaj, Sudama Florist. They all come back, they want to come back and preach. Help all living entities. And that's what Muchkunda got. From Krishna. He didn't pray for it, but as far as I remember, but Krishna said, in your next life, you will be a Brahmin and preach. Or Prabhupada in Krishna book said he's going to preach. But, yeah. So, Shukadeva Goswami said, when Nanda Maharaj learned that the Yadus had arrived, led by Krishna, he immediately went to see them. The cowherds accompanied him, their various possessions loaded on their wagons. So what are these possessions? Are they something they need?
Milk.
It's something for Krishna. That's their possessions. What are they thinking of? Oh, we need this, we need that. No, they think Krishna needs this and Krishna needs that. So we better bring, let's see what the purport says. The cowherds of Braj were planning to stay at Kurukshetra for some days. So they came equipped with adequate provisions, especially milk products and other foods for the pleasure of Krishna and Balaram. So imagine if that's what our luggage was when we travel. Food for Krishna and Balaram, clothes. I mean, some people do it. They take the deity dresses back to the States, and that's their luggage, or like that. Food for Krishna and Balaram. Ah, yes. Yeah, somebody asked me what I wanted, and I asked them to make some very special sweets, and they sent for my Giriraj. Her husband brought. Yeah. So usually they bring prasad, but he brought boga. Yeah.
When Tulsa Krishna's wife, Sunita,
yeah.
She used to come to Vrindavan,
yeah.
She used to bring a trunk of ghee. Yeah. Oh. My.
And she would make
it, put it
in the plane.
Yeah.
Oh, we did a lot before that.
From America to
America. Yeah.
In America, from New
England. No, Florida. Yeah, ghee was not, even now it seems to be ghee is becoming scarce again in India because they're contaminating all the ghee. Yeah, when I came to India, there was no pure ghee. There was no milk, period, and there was no ghee. And then after a few years, Australia. All the Australian devotees brought ghee. And Gargamuni sold it. He got it. They brought it to Mayapur, and Gargamuni took control of the ghee. And he was selling it to the devotees. But to the temples. I remember that. It was really, after being without ghee for so long, it really had such a good taste to have pure ghee. So, seeing Nanda, the rishis were delighted and stood up like dead bodies coming back to life. Mm-hmm. Having felt much distress at not seeing him for so long, they held him in a tight embrace. Vasudeva embraced Nanda Maharaj with great joy. Beside himself with ecstatic love, Vasudeva remembered the troubles Kamsa had caused him, forcing him to leave his sons in Gokula for their safety. O hero of the crews, Krishna and Balaram embraced their foster parents and bowed down to them. But their throats were so choked up with tears of love, the two lords could say nothing. Purport, after a long separation, a respectful child should first offer obeisances to his parents. Nanda and Yashoda gave their sons no opportunity for this, however, for as soon as they saw them, they embraced them. Only then could Krishna and Balaram offer their proper respects. So their relationship was not official. It was, they had such a love, overflowing love, unsatisfied for so many years. How can they contain it and just say, okay, time for obeisances and all the formalities? No, they just didn't, you know, they went right for Krishna. Raising their two sons onto their laps and holding them in their arms, Nanda and saintly Mother Yashoda forgot their sorrow. Purport. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti explains that after the initial embraces and obeisances, Vasudeva led Nanda and Yashoda into his tent as they held the hands of Krishna and Balaram. Following them inside were Rohini, other women and men of Braj, and a number of attendants. Inside, Nanda and Yashoda took the two boys on their laps. Despite having heard the glories of the two lords of Dwarka and despite seeing these opulences now before their eyes, Nanda and Yashoda looked upon them as if they were still their 8-year-old children. So their prema could not be conquered by Krishna's opulences. This is, Aishwarya was there right in front of them, Aishwarya Krishna, but they didn't see Aishwarya Krishna. They saw Madhurya Krishna. He saw the Krishna of Vrindavan. Didn't matter what Krishna did in Dwarka. Didn't matter what he was wearing. He's still their little son. Didn't matter if he's full of armor and so many elephants and all these things. Didn't, you know, he's their Krishna. And so in Nectar of Devotion, there's a description of the meeting of Mother Yashoda at Kurukshetra, that she entered and it said her lower part of her sari was wet from the milk flowing from her breast. So this was when she was, of course, crying, and the milk, the two together, were the abhishek of Krishna. Nectar of Devotion, chapter 43, when Krishna arrived at Kurukshetra, all the people assembled there began to say, Krishna, the son of Devaki, has arrived. And Devaki, just like an affectionate mother, began to pat Krishna's face. And so she was, you know, being the mother until Yashoda entered the scene. And when people cried, Krishna, the son of Vasudeva, had come, King Nanda and Mother Yashoda became overwhelmed with affection and expressed their great pleasure. When Yashoda was going to see her son, Krishna, at Kurukshetra, one of her friends addressed her thus, my dear queen, the milk flowing out of your breast mountain has already whitened the river Ganga, and the tears from your eyes mixed with black mascara have already blackened the color of the Jamuna. And as you are standing just between the two rivers, I think there is no need for your anxiety to see your son's face. Your parental affection has already been exhibited to him by these two rivers. So that's Nectar of Devotion. The same friend of Mother Yashoda addressed Krishna as follows. My dear Mukunda, if Mother Yashoda, Queen of Gokula, is forced to stand on fire but is allowed to see your lotus face, the fire will appear to her like the Himalaya mountains full of ice. And so this is how they're showing the love of Yashoda. In the same way, if she's allowed to stay in the ocean of nectar but is not allowed to see the lotus face of your grace, even this ocean of nectar will appear to her like an ocean of arsenic poison. Then Rupa Goswami says something. He comments, let the anxiety of Mother Yashoda of Braj, always expecting to see the lotus face of Krishna, be glorified all over the universe. So she was very anxious to see Krishna and make sure he's eating and he's happy. I have a little section here from Gopal Champu, which I'll read. So this was actually from the beginning of the journey when they left Braj. In the morning, the journey to Kurukshetra was undertaken. And this is the journey of the Braj Basis. The chests of the Braj people quivered in anticipation of seeing Krishna. They gave bliss to all eyes because their hair stood on end and they were drenched with tears. Because their teeth clattered from trembling, their words became unintelligible. So this is how the Brijavasis were going to Kurukshetra. I mean, their teeth were chattering, so they couldn't speak. Because many thoughts appeared and disappeared, they were constantly in confusion. They acted calmly externally, like realized souls, but internally, they considered everything illusory because of bliss on seeing Krishna constantly. Their bodies became thin because of forgetting to eat or sleep, but they were always serving Krishna. Even persons who did not know Krishna and those who disrespected him went along. Somehow they all went to Kurukshetra. On hearing they were near, a heavy load of hundreds of types of happiness inundated Krishna's body. He could thus not go to them quickly. None of the others smelled Krishna's fragrance, though Krishna was not present. So first they smelled him when they went to Kurukshetra. When they came closer, Krishna was there with his royal retinue. When Krishna and Balaram heard the people of Braj were near, they reverted to their cowherd mood. Their minds melting because of wanting to serve them with devotion, they went to meet them, but they could not move quickly. They sent the assembled kings to separate camps with an excuse, "All my enemies do not know I'm friends with the people of Braj." For this reason, through Uddhava, he placed Nanda and the others in an isolated place where he could console them in private. After leaving aside those who were not relatives, Krishna and Balaram, along with relatives, went to meet the people of Braj. From far off, they offered respects on the ground to Nanda with reverence. Nanda's body began to shake. His eyes filled with tears and his hair stood on end. Nanda embraced them both at once and cried with a choked voice, with an unsteady mind. Though Krishna and Balaram wanted to embrace him, because of all the people present, they offered respects on the ground at Nanda's feet. Though Nanda wanted to relieve them of the fatigue from their offering respects, because of lack of control from his emotions, his hands could not move properly. He just looked here and there. Then he saw Vasudeva and others who said, "May you too live long." Nanda and his group remained reserved, however. And so then, yeah. They don't know that I'm friends with the people of Braj. So he sent everybody away except the relatives.
And he also had Nanda Maharaj and the friends of Raj.
And he sent the Brijbasis to an isolated place, and he sent everyone who wasn't a relative away.
So to whom did he say
that? Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. He couldn't say, my enemies do not know, and send everyone, it's like everyone's your enemy. Perhaps he said to his relatives, and then he sent all these other kings away. Page 9, 14, and 15. Chapter 23. Yeah, let's see. I'll look it up where he said that.
My enemies know that I'm moving.
If they see all this huge retinue and everything, they'll say, "Oh, Krishna is going. He's friends with the Brijbasis." But if he can do it like in a secret way, he did it in a secret way. So the enemies would not go to Braj and give them trouble. As soon as they find out, Krishna is friends with them, then they'll all go and try and disturb them. And that's one reason why Krishna left Vrindavan. And so, yes, so these were friendly kings that were with him. So he said, "You please go, because now I just, with the relatives only." Verse 36, then Rohini and Devaki both embraced the queen of Braj, remembering the faithful friendship she had shown them. Their throats choking with tears, they addressed her as follows. Purport. At this time, according to Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti, Sri Vasudeva invited Nanda outside to meet Ugrasena and the other elder Yadus. Taking this opportunity, Rohini and Devaki talked with Queen Yashoda. Or they tried to talk with Queen Yashoda. Rohini and Devaki said, "What woman could forget the unceasing friendship you and Nanda have shown us, dear Queen of Braj? There is no way to repay you in this world, even with the wealth of Indra." So, in Sarata Darshini, Vishnu Chakravarti says, seated with Krishna and Balaram on her lap and embracing them, Yashoda's mind was completely bewildered, being stunned with bliss and flowing with tears and milk like the Ganga and Jamuna. Of the two seated in front of her, Rohini first spoke. "What can repay that friendship, even if we attain the wealth of Indra?" Dwarka's wealth was greater, but the expression is for the common man and therefore only mentions Indra's wealth. People didn't know the glories of Dwarka. And they thought, well, Dwarka's in this earth, so Indra must be more wealthy. Actually, Dwarka was more opulent. 38. Before these two boys had ever seen their real parents, you acted as their parents and gave them all affectionate care, training, and what else? Nourishment and protection. They were never afraid, good lady, because you protected them just as eyelids protect the eyes. Indeed, saintly persons like you never discriminate between outsiders and their own kin. Purport. As Sri Vishnu Chakravarti explains, Krishna and Balaram had not seen their parents for two reasons, because of their exile in Braj, and also because they are never actually born and therefore have no parents. Okay. So one is obvious. They were away in Braj, and the other reason is kind of esoteric, because they're never born and have no parents, so therefore they never had seen their parents. Sri Vishnu Chakravarti also describes what Devaki thought before speaking this verse. Alas, because for so long these two sons of mine had you, Yashoda, as their guardian and mother, and because they were immersed in such a vast ocean of ecstatic, loving dealings with you, now that you are once more before them, they are too distracted to even notice me. So that's what Devaki was thinking. And she's trying to... Also, you are behaving as if insane and blind with love for them, showing millions of times more maternal affection than I possess. Thus, you simply keep staring at us, your friends, without recognizing us. So let me bring you back to reality on the pretext of some affectionate words. So she's trying to shake Yashoda out of her ecstasy, ecstatic trance on Krishna and Balaram, but is she going to succeed? No. Then when Devaki failed to get any response from Yashoda, she's staring straight ahead, even after addressing her. You know, she's talking to her, it's like talking to the wall. Rohini said, "My dear Devaki, it's impossible just now to rouse her out of this ecstatic trance. We are crying in the wilderness, and her two sons are no less bound up in the ropes of affection for her than she is for them. So let us now go outside to meet with Prita, Draupadi, and the others." So they gave up on Yashoda. They tried to have a conversation with her, but after all these years, they met Yashoda finally. But were they able to say anything? And was Yashoda able to say anything? No. I mean, they tried to talk to her, but Yashoda was completely in bliss, having Krishna and Balaram on her lap. That was it for Yashoda. And so Rohini said, "Okay, just forget it. Let's go. Try to talk to somebody else." Yashoda is, and Krishna too. We can't talk to Krishna either. He's also hopelessly lost. So I have here a list of respectful personalities who enjoy parental affection toward Krishna. I've been reading this many times during our discussions. So number one is who? Yashoda. And number two? Nanda. And number three? No, Rohini. Rohini. Yashoda, Nanda, Rohini. Then the... No, elderly gopis. Then the gopis of Braj. Whose sons... This is from Nectar of Devotion. Respectful personalities in parental affection. Vatsalya Ras. These are the top nine of Vatsalya Ras. So number four is all the gopis whose sons were stolen away by Brahma because they got Krishna as their child. So they're number four on the list. Number five.
Cows?
No, they're not on the list. No. They're not respectful. I mean, they're respectful, but they're not personalities, but not human person. These are all human beings here. Who? No, no, they're in Vatsalya Ras. Yeah, you were not with us last year when we found out many things about these cows are in Vatsalya. The mountains are in Sakya, and all the trees and the animals are in Dasya. Madhurya, yeah, Jamuna is in Madhurya, the river in Madhurya. So, yeah, so it's not as you think. Yes, so no, the elderly gopis is number four. Number five is Devaki, right. Number six is the other 15 wives of Vasudev. All of her co-wives, they're number six. Because they got to take care of Krishna. And number seven is Kunti. Yeah, Vasudev. He's there, but he's number eight. Kunti's number seven. She was very special, Kunti. He had a very special relationship with Salya Ras. Number seven. Vasudev, Haribo, finally, the real father. He's number eight. And number nine, last but not least, is Sandipani Muni, the guru, his guru. Balaram is mixed. He's mixed Sakya. He's mostly Sakya. Because she's both in Braj and she's in Braj. She's mother of Balaram, so she's very high because she experienced both Braj pastime and Dwaraka pastimes. She's like top. And she was there calling Krishna back from the fields. Yashoda would send Rohini out. She was cooking. So she's like one of the top Braj personalities. She's Balaram's mother. So so that means she's almost equal to Yashoda. She had Balaram as her son. And she took equal care of Krishna. Vasudev's wife, yeah. And she got to be in both the pastimes. He sent her there out of fear of Kamsa. He sent her to Braj with Balaram, or she had Balaram there, I can't remember. So she must have had, I don't know, she must have been pregnant on a horse. Oh, yeah, I didn't start the beginning. I just read for what I had to do for these classes, the back part. I have to go to the beginning now. Yeah, other 15 wives of Vasudev is number six. No, you don't have to, but now we're hearing. Yeah, mention is there. Mention is there. In Rajasya or somewhere, I think, the mention, or I think it will come in this, perhaps in Kurukshetra Leela. Yeah. There will be, yes, all of Devaki's sisters married Vasudev, and then there were also other.
Maybe one of them is the mother of Subhadra,
or at least 15 years. Yeah? Okay. One's mother, Subhadra. So, but they all accepted Krishna as their son, as a joint family. All of their children were each other's. Like, Subhadra is considered the daughter of Vasudeva and Devaki, but it's all one. Right? The children were all together. And Krishna, who was that who was calling? I can't remember that. Just the other day we read it. Oh, yeah. My father's, Pradumna, was calling Balaram his father also. It is my father's. Krishna and Balaram will be upset if I run away from the battle. Yeah.
Yes.
I really don't know. Does it say in Gopal Champa?
It states from the vision.
Yeah, Dwaraka. She's in Dwaraka. Vasudev's the father. And one of the other wives. Yeah. We don't hear about them, but yeah. So that is Gada? Is Gada? Gada. Gada is a cousin of Krishna. Anyway, can research it and find out and let me know. If anyone wants to research it today, you can. About who is who. Who is the... I think you have to go to the internet to find out who is Subhadra's mother and father.
Oh, it's not very clear.
No. Mixed up.
Well, it's definitely not Devaki.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting. But she was there with Balaram, you know, eating. Yeah, it appears that there's only Krishna, Balaram, and Subhadra. But there must be more. The nectar of devotion, next to her name, mother of Balaram. And that's, I imagine, why she's so high up on the list, too. She's mother of Balaram.
Rohini Sutta.
Rohini Nandana. Gada, Gada is, so that's a brother of Krishna, another brother. Half-brother, step-brother.
From whom?
Devarakshita. Gada. Yeah, I was always thinking Gada is like a brother of Krishna. Maybe Sharana, Sukha Sharana.
All the sons are listed in the ninth chapter from all the different wives.
Ninth chapter.
Oh, really?
924.
Right. So all the sons of Krishna, of Vasudeva's other wives are listed. Okay, so we have found out where everything is, but not the mystery still remains about Subhadra. Yoga Maya. Yes, Yoga Maya. Somebody in Puri might know. Yeah, she's there. Balaram, Jagannath, Balaram, and Subhadra. I mean, that's where she lives.
There's so, another Gada.
Oh, yeah. Oh, wow. So two.
That's Gada and that's Gada.
Gada. Two Gadas.
Krishna had a son.
I knew there was a Gada. He had two. No, not Krishna. Vasudev had two Gadas.
Yeah, Krishna also had a son.
Oh, could be.
And that's Rohini, the sister. That is Rohini, that's the Rohini, the sister of.
Oh, there's another Rohini, yeah. Sister of Devaki. Okay, any other questions or comments while we are... Yes? Did you have a question? No?
Yes.
Well, that's her expansion. That's her expansion. Mahamaya expands from Yogamaya. We accept her as Yogamaya.
So she's a Yogamaya?
Yeah, she's Yogamaya. We accept her as Yogamaya. But she expands as Mahamaya. So they're seeing the material aspect of Subhadra. That's what they want to see. We want to see the spiritual aspect, her relationship with Krishna, not the separation aspect, material world. Yes, any other questions or you find anything there? No, okay. Yes, Parvati?
So we also consider Purnamasi as Yogamaya.
Yeah? So there's Yoga Maya in Braj and Yoga Maya in Dwarka, and in all the pastimes, in all the places there's Yoga Maya. Must be Yoga Maya in Vaikuntha also. And so in everywhere where Krishna goes, his energies also go with him. So must be in Braj, must be also in. It's kind of confusing. Yeah, it's confusing. Different manifestation. Because then you get into Purnamasi is she's the mother of Sandipani Muni? No. The wife of who? No, she's a disciple of Narada. And mother of Sandipani Muni. Who is her husband? I don't know. Yeah. So she is she's a single woman? I don't know. She's an ascetic. Ascetic. No, that's it for today. 26. Oh, the purport. All these kings who are now followers of Yudhisthira. Oh, yeah. That's interesting. So there's a contradiction there between the two purports. So it looks to me like a mistake in the purport. It does.
Or maybe there was a mistake in...
No, the chronology is correct. The chronology is correct that...
The tenses of this particular sentence should have been different.
Oh, the tenses.
It could have been...
Well, I mean, it was...
Would become... Followers.
Would become followers of Yudhisthira. Right, editing. Editing mistake here. Yeah.
I've marked a few...
But I would see... But also, they are subservient in one sense, because he is the emperor. The Kurus are the emperors of the world. They're the ruling kings. And so even though he may not have done the Rajasic sacrifice, they're the ruling family. The Kurus are ruling the world. And so, of course, it's not that you just get born into it. You have to earn it, too. So, I mean, he's born into the family that rules the world. But at the same time, he had to do the Rajasic sacrifice to earn it, to make sure all the kings agreed, accepted. Like Parikshit also, he was born into it, but then he traveled the earth to conquer the earth as well, make sure everyone was following or accepted his emperorship. So it can be the verse can be correct, but that part of the purport, yeah, that is probably that's why I didn't read it. Yeah, we just talked about that. Yeah.
Sends a horse, but didn't happen yet.
Right, didn't happen. But here it says it happened, so. And they're saying that's why they were subservient to Yudhisthira. But actually, they could be subservient even before most of them.
Could also be that they were getting their allies together.
No, not yet. Not yet. Duryodhana didn't get insulted yet.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't have the gambling match and all that, so it's not yet. Yes?
Can I ask a question? Because earlier when you gave the chronology, so there was some space...
No, yeah, that's how it's...
And the exile?
That's how it's written in, I think in the purport. Or either in the purport or in Krishna Sandarbha. There's two references... So let's just see the purport first and see what that says. It should be together, that they were gambling match and exile should be together.
Yeah.
They should be. So here in the purport, Rajasiya, so that was that one, yes. Actually, I marked that it should, the exile should be together with the gambling match.
So it should be together.
And then Shalva was killed.
Dandavarka, Shalva.
No, Dandavarka is after Shalva. He's last. He's the last one. Because then Krishna went back to Vrindavan. Last week. We heard that. Yeah. So the purport of this verse also, it was in a previous chapter, the chronology was given. In one of the previous chapters. Rajasuya, yes. One. And then afterwards he did Ashwamedha. When he became emperor, he did 3 Ashwamedhas to atone for all the killing.
Which chapter was the other chronology?
Yeah, I can't exactly remember. It might have been 76. I mean, I read it last week. So I did 75. Oh, I did all of these. 79. Could be 78. Look in the back and see if it's... 78, okay. Which verse, you know? No, but it's also... It was in one of these chapters as well. It's one of the chapters as well. I think it's 78. Okay, 269. Oh, yeah, okay, it's chapter... Yeah, it's that big, huge... No, it's not the big, huge purport. It is the big... Oh, yeah, okay. Yeah, it's that big, huge purport of... chapter 78, verse 16, the last paragraph. First was the journey of on the solar eclipse, then Rajasuya, then the gambling match, and attempted disrobing of Draupadi, Pandava's exile to the forest, they've got it together here. Then the killing of Shalva and Dantavakra, then Krishna's visit to Vrindavan. And finally, the winding up of Vrindavan pastimes. So this poor part is the one you should learn. You will be expected to know this for your test. Chapter 78, verse 16. Purport. At last paragraph of the purport. End of the purport. So that it gives the proper chronology. Yeah, that's why I took this one. You should know this chronology. Shalva Dantavakra. Yeah. Any other questions? Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Tomorrow, stay tuned for the gopis meeting with Krishna at Kurukshetra. And Lord Chaitanya's expansion of that. And dancing in Rathiatra and expanding on the feelings of the gopis in the heart of Radharani. We'll hear that all tomorrow.